All winter and into the spring, the nation's political leaders have been waiting for a special panel of federal judges to rule on the constitutionality of the new campaign finance law. The decision came down yesterday afternoon, and it's not quite what either side expected. NPR's Peter Overby filed this report.
Of the three judges making the decision, Circuit Judge Karen LaCraft Henderson liked almost nothing about the law. District Judge Colleen Kolar-Catelli liked almost everything about it. And District Judge Richard Leon treated it like a cherry tree, picking one provision here and one provision there. The decision shows that, all 1,638 pages of it. Lawyer Robert Bauer, whose clients include the Democratic Senatorial and Congressional Campaign Committees, was spending his Friday night at a conference table passing pages back and forth with other lawyers.
Trying to decide what can be said clearly about this opinion is not something that can be done in an hour, so we'll be here tonight and over the weekend.
What can be said clearly is that the American political system is still on the bumpy ride that began last November, when the law sponsored by Senators John McCain and Russell Feingold went into effect. Take the central provision of the law, which banned the national party committees from raising unregulated soft money contributions from corporations, unions, and the wealthy. In the process of cutting off money that isn't federally regulated, the law drew hard lines limiting the activities of national parties versus their counterparts at the state or local level. The court threw out most of that language.
It has vindicated the right of political parties to engage in the practice of politics.
But even as he says that, Bobby Birchfield, representing the Republican National Committee, says it's too soon for the parties to set up new soft money accounts on the basis of this decision alone. The ruling would still restrict soft money in two important ways. First, it upholds a ban that stops federal office holders and candidates from soliciting soft money themselves. And second, the parties can spend soft money on grassroots activities, but not on ads promoting candidates for federal office. These kinds of ads were an $80 million item in the last presidential race. The other big provision of McCain-Feingold is in even murkier waters. It was supposed to shut down another trend in politics, hard-hitting campaign ads not by candidates but by interest groups. Under the new law, outside groups couldn't run ads about specific candidates within 60 days of an election. This was considered the part of the law most vulnerable to constitutional challenge. So vulnerable, in fact, that McCain and Feingold included an alternative definition of these so-called electioneering ads in case the first definition was rejected. The court did reject that definition, but the alternative it adopted is actually broader. Instead of defining electioneering ads by when they appear, the court says they're defined by their content. Joshua Rosenkrantz, who supported the law as head of the Brennan Center for Justice, said this is an immediate pro-reform consequence of the decision. Floyd Abrams agrees. He had argued in court against any limits on so-called electioneering ads.
It's the part of the opinion that I find most distressing from a First Amendment perspective.
Both sides profess optimism as they head toward the Supreme Court, which will hear the case either this spring or next fall. Fred Wertheimer of the group Democracy 21 is one of the architects of the law.
The Supreme Court has upheld the constitutionality of campaign finance laws in the last two major campaign finance cases, and we are confident and hopeful that will be the case in this third case.
Lawyers defending the law are likely to be at the High Court early next week, seeking a stay to keep yesterday's decision from taking effect while the Court of Last Resort makes up its mind. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.